It's officially grilling season at the Home Depot. So don't miss Memorial Day savings on grills happening now, so you can celebrate with a backyard barbecue for the whole block. Step up your grill game and serve up a feast with the Next Grill 4-Burner Gas Grill, with durability to last summer after summer. On special buy, only $199. Get ready for a whole summer of entertaining at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Obviously playing with Michael Jordan. He was Mike Jordan. He wasn't Michael, which is a different. The aura, it was Mike. It was not Michael.
On this episode of Huge Fan, I get the honor to chop it up with one of the best, not just as a player on the court, but also now as a broadcaster, Kenny the Jet Smith, two-time NBA champion from the Houston Rockets days, one of my favorite teams, as he played with Clyde the Glide Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon. But also a really, really good broadcaster, award-winning on TNT's Inside the NBA. He does that on a nightly basis alongside Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, and Shaquille O'Neal. And what's so cool about this conversation with Kenny is you realize how many people he has crossed paths with along his life that he's learned lessons from. Life lessons, basketball lessons, keeping in mind that in his days in Chapel Hill as a college player, he was coached by Dean Smith. He was teammates with Michael Jordan and Sam Perkins. And so he has been in the company both on the broadcasting side and on the basketball side with some of the greatest minds in sport and in our world. He is just a wealth of knowledge with a lot to share. And of course, we had to get the scoop on the NBA playoffs as well. But here's Kenny talking about his fandom, both Houston and UNC, but also a little bit about what basketball has taught him along the way. I'm LaChyna Robinson. Those sweet, funky sounds you hear are the Budos Band. And this is Huge Fan, the podcast where stars talk sports. Now, please welcome Kenny Smith, UNC and Houston Rockets Huge Fan. Well, Kenny, thank you so much for taking the time. It's an honor for us on Huge Fan to hear from a basketball legend and a broadcast legend. I want to go back to the beginning. I know you were born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, and I feel like the answer to this question for every New Yorker is like right out of the womb. But when did you start playing basketball?
Well, I didn't start playing. I started playing, you know, when I was probably 9, 10 years old. Mm-hmm. However, you know, As a young person, you have a delusion of grandeur. You think, like, if you pick up a football, you're going to be in the NFL. You pick up a microphone, I'm going to have 20,000 people singing my songs. So I was one of those. But, you know, eight, 9 years old, that's when I started playing. But the game is the only... New York, the reason why we have such an affinity to basketball, it's the only, because of the proximity of the streets, it's the only place that 94 feet they'll give you. They're not going to give you 100 yards to play football. They're not going to give you a baseball field. You can only find probably 3 to 4 baseball fields in the city of New York. So it's not a lot of it. So basketball courts are every other block.
Yeah, we talk a lot about that when it comes to the accessibility of sports, especially in inner cities. Like, you're not going to see a soccer field, you know, you're not going to see a baseball field. So it's like you don't need a lot of equipment to play basketball. So when you look at the numbers, even when it comes to like NCAA scholarships comparisons in the inner city, it's always sports that you have more access to. So were you a Knicks fan? Like, where did your first professional basketball team fandom land?
I was a New York fan. And I'm one of the unique New Yorkers that I could be a Nets Knicks fan. I could be a Yankee Mets fan. I was both. As long as it said New York on its chest, I was like, that's my team. And so I was just a New York sports fan. And most people, my dad was a sports fan for sure, 100%. But I got it a lot from my mom. And so, you know, when I wrote the book, The Talk of Champions, I mentioned that a lot. My sports acumen actually came from my mom more than my dad, because, you know, I call her and like, hey, mom, what are you doing? She's like, watching that damn Derek Jeter strike out again. and she'd be watching the Yankee game. And we talk about the game and we talk about what's going on in other sports. So I got a lot of my sports acumen from my mom.
That's awesome. We don't hear those stories enough, I don't think, of the moms and the grandmoms who were fans of sports. You know, it's always like, well, what did your dad teach you? Or I went to the ball games with my dad. But I just love when we get someone that says exactly what you said. Listen, it was my mom who was into sport, which is a little different take.
My dad, Patina, was the person who, like, took me out there. Like, mm-hmm. He was rebounding. No, hold your follow through. There it is. But my mom was what the passion for, yeah. Like, why do you, when you win or when you lose, how are you supposed to feel and why are they doing things? So she brought the passion, and my dad was like the technique.
Yes. Yeah. Of the sport. And it's funny too, going back to your comment about, you know, being a New York fan, we had Stephen A. Smith on this pod and he would tell us, I'm a Knicks fan first, New York fan second. So that means, you know, he's Knicks and then, you know, he'll cheer for the Nets after that, but a similar mentality. So when did you realize that you were really good at basketball?
The honest answer, well, you always think you're good. But when I realized I was separating myself was not until about my junior, senior year, going into my senior year of high school. Like, you know, I was one of those kids that I didn't have a scholarship offer in my junior year of high school. Not one.
Wow.
But then going out and from my junior year to my senior year, I went from not having a scholarship offer to being first team All-American.
Like, wow.
I had an unbelievable
summer.
I had an unbelievable summer. My high school coach and I were super close. Jack Curran, the late great Jack Curran, super close. And he was so honest with me. And my junior year, going into my senior, he asked me, he said, Kenny, and I wrote this in the book about it. Like, what do you want to do in your life? And I said, oh, I want to be a basketball player. He's like, oh, I didn't realize that because you don't work hard enough. But he said it so casually that I knew he was serious. I knew he wasn't like a motivational tactic. He was just asking me because he cared about me because we were so close. Like, oh, I can help you be a stockbroker. I can help you be a lawyer. But he was, when I said basketball, I actually surprised him. And so I started working harder and I started doing things that I had never done before. And so my individual workout became so much more. My brother and I put together this plan and we started doing certain things. And I went from not being known as like just locally to nationally in 6 months. And every school in the country offered me a scholarship 6 months later.
Goodness, that's like a dream. And I've heard of that happening, but usually it happens in conjunction with a growth spurt, right? Someone's like, oh, I was 5'11", and then I grew 5 inches, and all the schools came for me, you know? But it just was a change in work ethic, which is really cool. And you mentioned your book, The Talk of Champions, Stories of the People Who Made Me. And you reflected on your time at UNC with Michael Jordan. Now, I do want to say I am a fellow ACC-er. I went to Wake Forest. But I spent a lot of time on Franklin Street with my friends that that went to Carolina. But what was Chapel Hill like, especially coming from New York? What was Chapel Hill, you know, making that change from like big city to, you know, at that time, you know, Chapel Hill wasn't even as populated as it is now.
Well, the difference is it felt the same in this regard. And it felt actually bigger. Because even in New York City, you don't have the proximity of 22,000 peers. So all of a sudden, you're around 18 to 21-year-olds, 22,000 of them. And even in New York City, you're never around that many of your same peers. So it always felt big for me in that sense. But in terms of when I got off Franklin Street, and I went into Durham, and I went over there, I felt like I was like, whoa, okay, this is a little different. But I loved it. It was the best experience for me ever. You know, and, you know, I'd be obviously playing with Michael Jordan, and he was Mike Jordan. He wasn't mm-hmm. Michael, you know, which is a different, the aura, it was Mike. It was not Michael. And so I just had an ability to, you know, a vulnerability of like 17, 18 year olds, watching him talk about his dreams and then ascending to them yeah. at the same time, you know, it was a unique perspective. And that's why I figured I wrote about it, because the Talk of Champions, the book is about, I read a lot of self-help books, you know, how to do this, yeah. how to do that. And it's always from one person's point of view. But I realized I was around greatness. So I wrote 15 chapters of self-help about different people's point of view and how I viewed it.
Mm.
Michael Jordan, you know, Bill Russell, Shaq, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, all of these people who have influenced my life and I've been around a lot, a great deal. Mm-hmm. Charles, like what I took from it, their greatness. If I knew this at 20, oh my God, you know, it would be different. So I just want to share that with the world. And yeah, Dean Smith, like all of the different great characteristics. And so when you walk away and you read it, you go, oh, that's when it works. That's why my life works when it does. That's what Dean Smith does. That's what Bill Russell, that's what Michael Jordan does. From a business acumen, socially, politically, all of their viewpoints are inside of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we all wish we could do, right? Live in the brains of some of the most successful people, see things from their perspectives. What were their habits? What kind of things were they, you know, what were their values? Like what kind of the practices they have? So
I had access to that and didn't know it. Even when I was writing the book, I didn't realize that I had it until I was writing the book and I'm sending in chapters to be edited. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing, send a chapter. I was up by chapter 5 and the editor calls me. He goes, do you realize everyone you're sending in,
mm-hmm.
people who made you, they have a book written about their life? And I'm like, wow, that is unique. So everyone I'm sending in had stories written about their life. And I just thought it was normal to have access to Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, you know, Charles, Shaq.
No.
Like, I just thought it was normal because it was the lifestyle that I lived.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. No, that's not normal. Just so you know, that is not normal. I want to go stay with Chapel Hill for a moment, because you and I both know what it's like there. But how would you describe, especially with the basketball culture there, like how would you describe Chapel Hill as a college sports town?
It's the dream area. Like it's mm-hmm. the dream thought process of school and thought, like, because it's so accommodating to you, if you're a student athlete or any kind of athlete, mm-hmm. It's accommodating in terms of they understand not only the wins and losses, but they understand how you're getting there. Mm-hmm. And so they have an appreciation of the process, where when you come to the NBA level, people have only appreciation of the result. Like last night, the Celtics lost. And they go, oh, they lost. Oh, they should revamp their whole team. But they don't look at that Tatum and Brown have been the winningest tandem in basketball for the last 6 to 7 years. They don't appreciate that process at times in a professional level.
Yes.
In college, in that area, in Chapel Hill, they appreciate your process. And it makes you feel better. And actually makes you want to play harder because there's an appreciation of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, and I don't think people understand that enough. I mean, again, you know, Winston-Salem was not like Chapel Hill, but it's just different, you know, culturally and how people see professional versus college sports. It's an education, I think, and in particular, I don't think professional sports fans really get what the college experience is like for those fans. Like, we're experiencing this in the WNBA right now, where college fans are like, why isn't my favorite college player making the WNBA? Because it's a different culture. It's a different league. Like it's nowhere near the same thing. So it's just interesting looking at those different contrasts. So do you remember what your first game was like in Chapel Hill?
Well, interestingly enough, when most people ask me what's my favorite basketball moment, they think, you know, I've been blessed to win 2 championships mm-hmm. and all that. I go my first game as a college student. And like, what? Your first game? Because I can remember it was like yesterday. Like, I'm coming out the tunnel because we come out in size order. I'm the smallest on the team. I'm running out. I'm dribbling the ball out. And, you know, we had practice. Even in high school, you play in a packed, you know, gym, but it's 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And then when we practice, there's nobody in the arena. And so I'm coming out, and I hear the band playing. I see the cheerleaders flipping in the air. I see, you know, 15,000 people packed into a thing. And I hear, dun, 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 dun. I get chills thinking about that. I'm like, man, I made it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, that was a I made it moment before yeah. I went to the NBA to playing in front of those people. And you see the cameras. And so to me, my first college game was my most memorable basketball moment.
Now, were you guys playing in Carmichael at that time, or were you in the Dean Dome?
I played 2 years at Carmichael and 2 years at the Dean. Okay. So I opened the Dean Dome up. So
oh.
I have the record because I have the first assist in the,
oh, in the
Dean
Dome. Nice.
I threw a ball pass, someone dunked it. So I got the very first assist in the Dean Dome. So I closed Carmichael and I opened the Dean Dome.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. Yeah. Well, on the women's side, we are still playing in Carmichael. So it's one of my favorite arenas to play in. The rims are so soft. Always had like many of my best games at Carmichael, but that's awesome that you got a little bit of both. So you mentioned going to the NBA. You got drafted number 6 overall. How would you characterize the transition?
It's honestly easier to score in the NBA than it is in college. Because of the zone defenses and the longer shot clocks, it's a little easy. The court is wide. 24 seconds, you got to get the shot up. So you're going to get more attempts. The court is a little wider. You're playing a little faster. So it's easier to score, but it's much harder to defend.
Yeah.
So because you have guys who, like when you play a game in college, the ball moves from side to side, got the person's open. It doesn't mean that it's going in.
Yeah.
But in the professional ranks, there are certain shots that are always going in. So yeah. It's much more difficult to defend. God, because you're a pro and you work on your craft more hours in a day. So you're going to be better at it. Yeah. And so it's much harder to defend and easier to score, I thought, as a college basketball, coming from college to pro.
Do you remember your welcome to the NBA moment? Like when you were like, okay, I'm here with the big boys. Like,
well, I think what I took for granted is because, you know, when you're the 6th pick, you're walking in, you got a little swag to you, thinking that you're from New York City, we talk a lot of junk. We always think we're better than we are. And then when I came into the league, John Stockton wasn't a starter. I played against John Stockton his first game that he started. His first year or two in the NBA, he was coming off the bench.
Oh.
And so I'm looking down at the other end, and they said, this guy, John Stockton's going to start. And I was a rookie. So I started as a rookie. And I looked down at the other end, and I honestly said this to myself. I said, he looks like an insurance salesman. Like, he looks like the guy who sold me my insurance the other day. He was like, you know, 6 feet. Body wasn't like spectacular. It wasn't like, and I said, there's no way that this guy is going to be able to guard me tonight. And that was the most underestimated thing I ever did in my life. And he literally 20 points, 19 assists.
Wow.
20 points, 19 assists in the first game. And I was the first game I started against.
Wow.
So that was my welcome to the NBA.
Yeah, it was like, never judge a book by its cover, right?
At all. And I had never heard of him. Like, think about it. John Stockton out of Gonzaga. Like, at that time, if you didn't go to UCLA, North Carolina, not even Duke at the time as much. You know, there were certain schools, Kentucky. He went to Gonzaga. They wasn't making the NCAA tournament. Like, we didn't know who they was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. But he does and still does look like an insurance salesman. None of that has changed at all. Chapter 12 in your book is dedicated to Hakeem Olajuwon, the dream, of course, and his conversion to Islam, and you know your admiration for him and his success with the Rockets. What was it like to really dig into that aspect of who he was as a person?
You know, again, it's a self-help book. I want people to go away reading and say, man, I feel better about myself after reading this. Because now I know where I'm coming from based on these other stories. Mm-hmm. And the Hakeem Olajuwon chapter is really about, he's the most honorable person I ever met. Like, you ever have that thing where you say, well, if you were stuck on the highway, who are the five people you call? He's one of them. Because, and I could not talk to him for years, but I know if I called him and he said, I'm going to be there at 3, he's going to be there at 3. And that is like, it sounds like an easy quality to have, but it isn't. It's the most difficult quality, you know, and I wrote this as well. Being extraordinary is just doing ordinary things extra. And he just does the ordinary things extra. And so not only will he come at 3 o'clock, he'd be like, you know what? I should bring water because he's probably been sitting out there for an hour.
Wow.
So that extra thing is what makes you extraordinary. It doesn't, you don't have to get there on a jet and fly over. Just do the ordinary things extra. And that's what made him great to me.
And looking at just the overall culture of those championship teams, 94, 95 with the Rockets, how would you describe that culture that led to the success that you guys had?
I think that we all, I said it earlier about delusion of grandeur. We all had a delusion of grandeur who we were. Other than Hakeem, he was who he was. Mm-hmm. But Sam Cassell, you know, he was like, I could start on any other team except for the Rockets. Any backup guard comes in, I'm killing. Mario Elie was like, I could guard, he's 6'4". He said, I could guard guys 6'10". They don't do that. We all used to talk crazy in the locker room. And then the other part of it, we would instill that belief in each other. And I'd be like, I would say, Mario, there's no way that this guy 6'8" could be able to dribble when he puts the ball. So we would tell each other things that were delusional too. So it was a whole belief in each other as well as yourself. Because I always say that coaches and players, they can't always give you confidence, mm-hmm. but they could take it away from you. Mm-hmm. And so we never took each other's confidence away from each other. Like a guy would be sitting on the bench and not playing and be like, you know, the only reason you're not playing is because I'm hot today. And like, what other guy would ever tell you that? You know,
right.
Most guys would say, you're not playing because I'm better than you.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say that you're not playing because I'm just having a good day, not because you're not good enough. Mm-hmm. So that was the aura of our team. And that's why I think we won back-to-back championships because of that.
Yeah. My friends always say to me that they feel like part of what kind of drives me, this is my friend's opinion, is that they feel like I can play the Jedi mind trick on myself. Like, once I believe something, there's no going back, right? So once I have convinced myself of something, like, that is what I believe, I'm moving forward in 110%. And I feel like that is what is great about a culture to what you're describing, is there is no other result, right? Like, this is how we're doing things. We're going to win. We're going to box out. We're going to do all, you know, the little things. We're going to rebound. We're going to run the floor, all those things. Like, there is not
a possibility. Can I ask you a question? And this is what I wrote about. I'm going to ask you a question. So, as a player, mm-hmm. what was your best attribute you felt? And your delusional attribute?
My delusional attribute was that no one could play harder than me.
Okay, now stop there. Now, you believe that. And this is culture. And this is what I wrote about and talk about. Now, I know you believe that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, someone's getting the best of you. And I just walk up to you and go, you know, Latina, you know it's going to turn because no one works harder than you. And I walk away. Now I've reinforced your delusion.
Yep.
That's culture.
Yep. And I don't think we share those delusions enough, Kenny, quite honestly. Either we're embarrassed, we don't want to be held accountable to it, but if we shared them, we could reinforce, and that's what I'm saying. You guys did, right. But I don't think guys are doing that in this day and age. It's like, I'm going to quietly do my thing. And I think some of it is they don't want the accountability of it. Some of it, they haven't figured out like what their delusion is. But that's such a powerful thing.
Oh, yeah. I would walk up to you and be like, how is she doing that to you when you work so hard?
Yeah.
Like, those are the things I would say to you.
Yeah.
Like, I, as a player, because now that I know that about you, I would just say one comment and I'd be out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're going to be like, that's right. I do work too hard.
Yeah.
So you're not going to do this.
Yeah. Bringing me back. Bringing me back to what I believe about myself.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
This summer, click into cordless power With Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is game day.
What is your game day like? Any routines and superstitions? I mean, I know when you're on set, it's one way, but what about when you're at home? Like, is there something you like to eat? Like, what's your game day look like?
Well, a game day when we're in the studio, I do have one ritual that I always do. I go around to everyone in the studio before the show. I do a fist bump that connects everyone. I'll give them that. And everyone is connected that way. Everyone. So it's like maybe 100 people. So I go from top to bottom, through up, through C-feed, through audio. So every single person I give it. Because I did it. I used to do that with my teammates. It's like everyone gives that before the show starts. So I did that one time, and I had a great show. And then the producer says, man, you had a great show. And you know, because I think you came up, and everybody, and they say, no one has ever done that. I'm like, that's normal. And so 20 years.
Wow.
Everyone, what that does is bring a connectivity to each other. And then I started to, so now, about the fifth time I do it, I'm in C-feed. I'm like, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I do blah, blah, blah. And I do, I'm the one who makes the graphics. So now I know everyone's job. So now they go, oh, I care about this. And it has a connectivity that I think brings life to our show.
That's so powerful. And especially on a set, because I've worked in a studio before, and it's like everyone behind the scenes can easily get forgotten. And I feel like that's the great thing about your show anyway. You guys are always shouting out the guy that does the highlights or pulling the social media, like live on air. But that makes all of those folks behind the scenes, because everyone wants to be acknowledged by the talent. Like, you know, you're Kenny. Like, if Kenny knows who I am, I'm good. And I'll never forget.
Also know that, honestly, everyone, like, our conversations on the air are based off of everything that's happening in the green room, at the lunch table, and it just continues. So, yeah. Like, we'll say on the air, I was arguing with Audio Rob about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it continues, and they're in the conversation. So we acknowledge it because we never stop. We know that our ideas come from everywhere on our set, everywhere.
Yeah, I remember one night I was working next door on the NBA TV set, and I happened to come out and I walked by Ernie, and Ernie, you know, looks up at me, and it's my first time, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Ernie. Like, I don't need to mess this up. So he looks at me and he says, hey, LaChyna, how are you? And I was like, this man knows my name. It was like, I was blown away. I was like, how does he know who I am? It's crazy. But those are the little vibes you get from people on you guys' crew, like that everyone is important, to your point. And it just...
Because we're gonna like, LaChyna, we would be like, okay, who's coming in today on NBA TV side? Because we'll say whoever coming in, make sure that person comes in and say what's up to us.
Yeah.
Because we would... And then all of a sudden, like, I'll do something with them. I'd be like, oh, damn, LaChyna, she went to Wake. So now when we do this ACC thing, I'd be like, can she come on the show? Like, because if I know who's in the building, it makes our show better. So we're never going to not acknowledge your greatness if you're there. Ever. Yes. Ever. Yeah,
I love that. I love that. Always felt at home. All right. Don't mean to put you on the spot, but obviously we're in the midst of the NBA playoffs. Denver's advancing. Miami's advancing. What is your hottest take, seeing as though those two teams look like they're going to advance?
The interesting part about it is most non-basketball fans are going to hear Denver, Miami. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to have the ring of a Lakers, a Celtics, or whomever, Knicks. But it will for a basketball fan, it's going to be the best basketball they've seen in a long time.
Yes.
Like, this is a basketball fan, like a purist game. It's like, you're going to be watching me. Oh, look at that. Oh, it's going to be a lot of oohs and ahs where, you know, the Kevin Durants, the Kyrie Irvins, the wizardry of ball handling and all those things, you might say, man, I don't have that. But in terms of the pure essence of like, man, these guys know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And like, now, and you're going to understand, I'll leave it as this. It's when someone who doesn't watch the game or not a pure bet, they're going to go, now I understand when I see guys playing the park, why it's different from playing in the NBA.
Yes.
Like, okay, now I see an NBA player. I understand what being an NBA player is about now. You're going to visually see it. Where at times, because guys are so great in terms of wit and they can wow you with a knockout punch, you lose sight of the other things that they're doing. Mm-hmm. These guys, you're going to be like, oh, no, I couldn't be on that floor. No.
Yeah, because they're not just going to out-athlete you. They're going to be showing you various aspects of the game of basketball.
Right. I could not be out there. Like all of those guys, those couch potato guys that I could have played against. I could be the 12th man on an No, you can't. Now you're going to see why you can't.
Not between these two teams.
No, you're not going to see it. Now you're going to see it.
Before we move on from basketball, just quickly, if you were the Rockets GM, that was your old team, what changes would you make right now? I mean, over the years, you guys have had Russell and Harden and Chris Paul. So, you know, there's been some star power there in recent years. But what changes would you make as the Rockets GM?
Well, I picked, Ime as a coach, obviously. I think some of the biggest things that they probably have to do is, like, there's no definitive style of play. And then when you find that style of play, are you going to allow those young guys to play fast, which typically means they give up things easily as well on the other end? Or are you going to slow them down to get them to success early?
Mm-hmm.
A style of play is going to be the most urgent, because then, as a general manager, a president of a team, I could say, well, I know who to draft. I know who to trade for, because we need this. But I thought last year, like they're saying, oh, James Harden, I keep hearing that. He might come back. I'm like, why? I don't know what style is. Will James fit? Or will whomever fit? Because they don't have a style of play that's conducive for winning last year. So I don't even know if Jalen Green's a good player. He's young. I have no idea. He had moments, but I don't know. So there was no style of play that I could see success in.
In your book, Talk of Champions, Stories of the People Who Made Me, what is the funniest memory you recount?
The funniest memory. I think my funniest memory is probably making fun of Shaq when he didn't know. He came onto the set and he would always, in between games, he would play DJ. He would DJ in between, so he wasn't watching the games. And so they were letting him get away with that, not watching. He would DJ, he'd be on the phone with his 18 businesses, wasn't paying attention, just glancing at games. And he didn't realize that, I think it was like Kevin Durant wasn't playing in the game that night. And so he says, Kevin Durant's got to step it up. We were and we just stayed on him the whole night because we didn't know that Kevin wasn't even playing that night. It was halftime of the game.
Oh, no.
So from then on, he started paying attention to everything.
Dialing in. And what is one thing from the book that people are going to be surprised to learn about you?
I don't know about me, but, like my favorite chapters are Bill Russell and Dean Smith because of their social activism. And especially Dean Smith and Coach Russell, but Dean Smith, at one time, my first week with China at school, he said, come in for a meeting. I'm thinking he's going to tell me how many weights to lift, how many miles to run. And he said to me, as an African-American student, what are you going to do here on this campus for African-American students? And that was the first time that someone who wasn't Black asked me, what am I going to do for Black people?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Especially at that age. I would have been like,
At 18. So, like, those are the type of things that are in my book that acknowledges my social consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of why I walked up the set during the protest. Those things, I was hearing echoes of not just, you know, you hear Bill Russell and Martin Luther King. No, you hear Dean Smith in the back of your head, echoing in your head. Like, what are you going to do for Black people? Right?
Yeah.
That's the type of stuff that's in.
It's officially grilling season at the Home Depot. So don't miss Memorial Day savings on grills happening now, so you can celebrate with a backyard barbecue for the whole block. Step up your grill game and serve up a feast with the Next Grill 4-Burner Gas Grill, with durability to last summer after summer. On special buy, only $199. Get ready for a whole summer of entertaining at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Welcome to Crunch Time.
Well, Kenny, thank you so much. We have one little quick segment. We call it Crunch Time, where I'm going to ask you just some rapid fire questions and you give me the first answer that comes to mind. OK, this is going to finish us off. Your most prized Rockets memorabilia.
My jersey.
Can't
because the blood, sweat and tears is in that.
I know that's right. Can't go to a basketball game without what?
A friend.
Best basketball movie of all time.
The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to go watch that. Rank these teammates from best to worst. Shaq, Charles, Ernie, Hakeem, Michael.
Ooh, that's not fair. Best to worst. Because you put Ernie in there, too. So that even made it harder. I would say I would start that 5 and come off the bench.
My last question for you. One word to describe your Tar Heels fandom.
Exuberant.
Exuberant. We got another new word. We're probably 45 podcasts in and we've never had the same word twice. Kenny, can you believe that?
Yeah, exuberant. They are a lot of things and they're loyal, but they're exuberant. Oh my God, exuberant.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kenny. Appreciate your time.
All right.
Have fun.
All right.
That'll do it for this round of Huge Fan, the podcast where stars talk sports. You can find Huge Fan on Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, please rate, review, and share so other Huge Fans can find us. And don't forget to follow the show or subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. I'm LaChyna Robinson. Until next time, keep rooting your guts out. Go Budos Band!
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.